Thanks. Too much distractions. I am, it's shiny up here, so. Gotta get beyond that, so. Galatians chapter 1, we're gonna be in verses 13 through 17. Let's open up in our word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opening up of your word. And Lord, we know that there is a lot of good things in our Bible, but help us to get to the point where we do open it up. And Lord, be with us through the week. Help us to revisit the truths that we learn on Sunday, and not just the message, but through the music and through the Sunday school, just all the different things that you have brought together, the encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this day. It is a blessing. It is a encouragement and a joy to be in the house of the Lord today. And we just pray that you would help us to focus on your word this morning. Give me the words to zero in on, and Lord, allow me to use your truth to communicate your principles so that we can know your purpose. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We, once again, are continuing our series in Galatians. It is a series that talks about when our freedom becomes under attack, because at the time Paul was writing to these believers in Galatia, they were being told that what they were taught originally isn't all the pieces to the puzzle, isn't everything that they needed to know for salvation. And so, basically, their freedom began to be under attack. And because of that attack on their freedom in Christ, Paul wrote a letter to them saying, "Stand firm, therefore, in the freedom that is found in Christ." Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm." He says, "Galatia, the people of Galatia were standing firm, but keep standing firm in the freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." There are many yokes of slavery in our lives, yokes of sin that enslave us to the flesh side of our lives. And then there is a yoke of slavery that makes us think that we have to perform to be accepted. Those are both yokes of slavery, and Paul was saying, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. The goal of this book was to settle the debate between law and grace, legalism versus faith. So today, we are going to get to the main idea of God has a special purpose for me. And God's plan and purpose for me far exceeds my own plans and purposes. It far exceeds my own reputation, my own enthusiasm, and my own timing. We have a lot of things that we would like to have as a plan and purpose for our lives, but we need to know that God's plan and purpose far exceeds anything that we could ever imagine. What is it in a person that drives them to success, to achieving the things that they strive for? What I see in a lot of individuals that have been successful in their business ventures, in their careers, is one common denominator. These people have in their hearts what? What do they have? They have what? Joy. Not quite. We're talking about God's purpose for me. So what do they have in their lives? They have a purpose and a plan for where they want to be, and they have a road to get there. Now, improvement can only be realized in life through having a plan and purpose that drives the plan. And what if I was to tell you that the greatest purpose and plan that you could ever dream up will never come close to following God's purpose for you? God's purpose is far different and far exceeds any plan that I could ever have, because his purpose and plan is based on Christ and his ability, not on me and my limitations. And there is no limit to what God can achieve through someone that understands that his plan far exceeds their own. Paul understood clearly that great truth. The great truth that we are going to study today, Paul understood that God's plan and purpose for me far exceeds my own. How did he understand that? He saw that God's purpose and plan exceeded his reputation, exceeded his enthusiasm. Even though he was enthusiastic about Judaism, God's plan was far greater. And God set him apart and had perfect timing for him. Let's talk about the reputation. We're going to move rather quick today because we don't have a lot of time, and that's okay. That's not a problem. But just warning you, we're going to be moving. Verse 13 in Galatians chapter 1 says, "For you have heard," very important words, "you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." His reputation was something that they knew. "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism." Paul writes about this former manner of life, and he is talking about his lifestyle. "You've heard about my lifestyle. It's been said before I even got here, before I've even written this letter." A super important word in that phrase, though, is former. Former. There are many areas in my life that I'm glad are former areas of my life, and that I can now daily follow the Lord in the purpose and plan that he has for me. To the believers who heard of Paul's life before, knew that he was a vicious man. He was a vicious man that did anything he could to eradicate the followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they set up a system that did not come together with the systems and the traditions of Judaism that he was so set on studying. The laws and the traditions of men that many of his ancestors had set up. Paul used to persecute the church. But who is glad today that they are not the person that they used to be? And maybe you are struggling, though, and maybe you're not as good as you used to be. Maybe you're not following through, and maybe you need to get back on track. But there is a truth that our reputation cannot keep us from what God has planned for our lives if we would yield to him. Paul's persecution was persistent and continual. It wasn't just something where he would be there and hear something and then get upset. He would search it out. He was persistent and continual in his effort to destroy the church. He viewed the Christians as a group that needed to be exterminated. How do you exterminate a people group? You hunt them down. You intimidate them every chance you get. Not only did he witness the believers such as Stephen being killed for his faith, but he also gave hearty approval to those who would carry it out. What haunted him for many years was the thought that he had the chance to cast a vote to save Christians' lives, and he voted to destroy them. Having regrets and having a reputation that precedes us wherever we go can be such a burden. It can be such a burden on our hearts and souls. But God wants us to be released from those burdens. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your weary souls." And in this verse, Jesus is saying that those in whom he reveals his Son, he will allow them to come and receive of the rest that he freely gives to those who find their peace in him. There are many heavy hearts in this congregation. I don't have to know you personally to know that there has to be some type of reputation that you have someplace. Some type of painful thought going through your mind. hurtful feelings, even towards your own heart. But God, through the Apostle Paul, is saying to him, I can work with you. I can give you a purpose that goes far beyond anything you can imagine. It exceeds your reputation. They know you for this, but I'm going to make you known for my works, for the things that I can do. A plan that allows your reputation to show just how I can use any situation and any person for my glory. In 1 Corinthians, if you would turn there with me, 1 Corinthians, I went to the right and it's to the left. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. It says in verse 7, then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, chapter 15, verse 8, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. This is talking about Jesus appearing to him on the road to Damascus. It says in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I persecuted the church of God. Philippians chapter 3, it's to the right of Galatians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul is going through all of his credentials, everything that he'd ever experienced or gone through. He's talking about them in this passage. And he says, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh and what he's done, I far more. And then let's jump down to verse 6. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is found in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I like to read verse 9 anytime I come to it, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, on the basis of faith. And then one final verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. We're going to read verse 13 through 16. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13 through 16. If you have your smartphones, you can look them up on there. You can probably get to them faster too. If 1 Timothy 1:13, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, that's what he was known for, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, with the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. Zero in on this verse, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. If you think you are the worst sinner in this room, the worst sinner in the world, Paul has already claimed that title, and you can't claim it anymore. He is the worst, he is the chief of sinners. Why did God choose the chief of sinners? He says, in order that Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. I was found mercy so that I could be an example of what God can do with any and every individual that comes to him. Back in Galatians chapter 1, we know that God's purpose for me exceeds my reputation. That's something that we know. When you really think about it, you know that God's purpose can exceed my reputation. But God's purpose can also exceed my enthusiasm. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. Among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Ancestral traditions is very important, and we'll get to that in just a second. It's not just a bunch of words. He is saying something very specific. Trailblazing. This is what Paul says. I was trailblazing new paths for Judaism. That's exactly what he says in this passage. It says beyond. I was advancing in Judaism beyond. When he says advancing in Judaism, it has the idea that he was making new paths. He was opening up new avenues that those of his contemporaries, his classmates, had not yet even discovered. He was innovative in his thinking. He was the leading cutting edge in the studies and in his practical life. There was a flame in his life that burned greatly, and he was always ready to learn more. He was excited about learning more and to excel in the challenges that he was met with. He was extremely zealous and would go to great lengths to make sure that he would advance in Judaism. What are those great lengths? In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Who? Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Stay in Acts and turn over to chapter 26. Chapter 26 gets really descriptive. Chapter 26 and verse 11 of Acts says, "And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities." Nothing was going to hold him back, even this man called Jesus that some people were following. He punished the Christians often in the synagogues, made a mockery of them. He was so angry with them that he made them blaspheme the names of their God. And I got to switch my screen. There we go. All right. And his zeal was so much that he would go to foreign cities. They thought they were safe. They thought they were refugees and had escaped his grip. And he would come with a warrant and bring them back and put them in prison. Now, the thing that I told you to remember, ancestral traditions, it's called the halakha. I don't know if I'm saying that right, probably not. But it's the ancestral traditions of the Jewish people that were hard and burdensome for even some of the greatest scholars of Judaism to understand. What do we get from that? He wasn't just there to fill the position. He was there to exceed and excel. All this to say, we may have a passion for our job. We may have a passion for sports. We may have a passion to exceed in anything and everything we go and set our minds to. But, is it exceeding and excelling in the ways of God? God had greater things for Paul to do than focusing on climbing the ladder of society. The Lord wanted to use him and his enthusiasm paired with the power of the Spirit of God to reach the Jews and Gentiles for the very Jesus Christ he was enthusiastic about ending. When Saul converted to following Jesus, the Jews were embarrassed by him. Right away, the Jews became very embarrassed by him. Why? Man, this was the young rabbi. This was the guy that was supposed to lead our charge. And now he's following Jesus, the same man that he tried to destroy. But God had a purpose for Paul that would exceed his enthusiasm for Judaism. Do we have enthusiasm in our lives that need to be changed into a zealousness for God and his purpose and plans? Had Paul climbed that ladder, he would have been known as a great scholar, I'm sure. But it would have been all for nothing. We need to make sure that the objects of our zealous enthusiasm are centered on the things of God and used to further his purposes. God's purpose for me exceeds my reputation. It exceeds my enthusiasm and it exceeds my timing. I just read a passage that said he was one as untimely born, an apostle as one who was untimely born. He didn't know God's timing. We don't know God's timing. But we know that God's plan and purpose is to exceed our timing. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 says, But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Some of us are glad that God's purpose exceeds our timing, because some of us might never get there if it was up to our timing. Looking back on our lives, have we had any moments like Paul where we think times are so dire, the situation is bad, but when God allowed the doctors to figure out what they could do, it exceeds my timing. We know that God is the one who gives us salvation, saves us from our sins. Paul was being clear that apart from the grace of God, there would be no change in his life. God called him through his grace, and we know that God has perfect timing. God was well pleased. When God was well pleased, God is never late. God doesn't make mistakes. God was using the events in Paul's life to prepare him for the ministry that God had for him. God knew that each and every circumstance that Paul went through would be valuable to the ministry that he would be involved in. He never had to call Paul to salvation, and that's one thing we have to realize in our lives. He never had to call us to salvation. He never had to die for us. But he did. He never had to provide for his conversion or the payment of his sin, but he did. And that is the miracle in this entire story. God always has a plan for Paul, but was waiting for the proper time to reveal Jesus, the Christ, to him. Paul knew about Jesus the man, but it was time for him to see Jesus for who he was. When he was converted, he went away at that time for training in order to present the gospel clearly. And this was all part of God's timing as well. God wants us to be able to take the time to understand his word, to get clarity in the things of him. Paul went away to Arabia, a wilderness desert where he was prepared and made ready for ministry. And we may not understand why God allowed Paul to go through the many years of training that he had in Judaism before conversion, and then to spend 3 more years of training after that. We may not be able to comprehend his planning, but I thank God for his wisdom. Because in each situation where I question God's timing, I look back and I see God had a plan. God knew what he was doing. There are many verses that are similar to this verse. What part? The part about but when God. There's a verse in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." This is Joseph talking to his brothers. After they had threw him in, they had sold him as a slave, he went through prison, he went through a lot of things. And he says to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to save many people alive." Psalm 49, 14 and 15 says, "Their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave." Psalm 73, 26 says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Romans 5, 7 through 8 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, "Eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things which God prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." God's purpose for me exceeds my reputation. It exceeds my enthusiasm, and it exceeds my timing. Have we allowed the fear of our reputation to keep us from being used by God to our full potential? Do we know the purpose that God wants us to use our enthusiasm for? And are we allowing God's timing in order to accomplish his purpose in our lives? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you each and every day for the fact that you have a purpose for us. There are a lot of people in this world that are scraping, grasping for a purpose. Lord, some may not have any purpose at all that they can see, any purpose that they can touch and feel. But Lord, you have given us a purpose that far outweighs anything that we could ever imagine. And when we are stuck thinking that all is lost, that our life is lived in vain, Lord, you have a mighty plan for us. Help us to grasp that. Lord, to ask you for help in achieving that plan that you have for our lives. And we thank you and we praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.